This is a Hog Sports Network podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. I am your host, Anthony Christensen, joined by Blake Sutton behind the scenes and Ethan Westerman and Bob Holt by my side. Gentlemen, how are we all? How are we doing today?
I'm just glad the coaching search is over.
Let the whole roster rebuild begin.
Blake, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited about this emergency pod.
I can empathize with being excited that the coaching search is over. I'm still recovering. But last time we had a podcast, I think I signed off by basically saying, see you guys next season. Obviously, it is not next season. Like Blake said, we've gotten an emergency podcast. Quite a lot has happened since Arkansas, the men's basketball team's season ended with an 80-66 loss to South Carolina in the SEC tournament. Now former coach Eric Musselman had been linked with a few different jobs before officially leaving and taking the USC job over in LA. And there was a coaching search, quite a few names thrown out, Chris Beard, Jerome Tang, Will Wade, quite a few more, before Arkansas officially landed on Kentucky's John Calipari. Calipari. I always mess that up, especially when I'm reading. But I guess first, guys, when we're looking at it, what were your first initial reactions to hearing that it might be Cal?
Well, I was surprised. I think if anybody says they aren't surprised, unless they were in the inner circle, they're lying or they're crazy. I mean, just not a name that you thought of because he's already at Kentucky. Now, we know they've had struggle in the postseason of late and just lost to 14th seed Oakland, and there was fan unrest in the Commonwealth, and he had a massive buyout. Otherwise, you thought they might actually do the unthinkable and fire a Hall of Fame coach. But he and Mitch Barnhart's AD had sat down, and I saw some media described it as almost like a hostage video where people are forced to read off some cue cards or prompt or whatever. But, you know, Mitch Barnhart recommitted to Cal for another year. Cal recommitted to Kentucky. But obviously, you know, the Arkansas offer came along, and I think he was ready for a new challenge. And, you know, as he said in his farewell video, 15 years at Kentucky, it was time for a change. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. I think he said it was time for everybody to hear a new voice. And so it really worked out well because Kentucky wanted him gone. I think that's safe to say, most of the fan base and probably even Mitch Barnhart privately. And so now they've hired Mark Pope, who was team captain of Kentucky, comes from BYU. Never won an NCAA tournament game, so we'll see how that goes. But it was very – I'd even call it shocking when I first heard about it.
You said maybe the only ones that weren't surprised were the inner circle. I bet even they were surprised. I mean, that's how crazy of just a hire this is. Like, just kind of hearing the timeline that Hunter Juracek and Coach Calipari talked about, you know, during his introduction, like, it just seems like it was kind of like it just came about not really intentionally from the get-go of like, I'm going to go target him to be our next coach. It just kind of, the more they talked, the more that he was like, I think the way Juracek said it is, Calipari was like talking about how great the program at Arkansas was. And finally Juracek was like, well, if it's so great, then why don't you want to come coach here? And so, I mean, even the inner circle, I bet whenever they first hear like, hey, this guy's actually considering to be the coach here. I mean, this has got to be the biggest like Arkansas, all sport news I feel like I've covered since I was on the beat. I mean, you don't get a Hall of Fame coach to decide to leave Kentucky and come to Arkansas just, you know, every year. Mm-hmm. This is pretty uncharted waters.
Yeah, and talking about these uncharted waters and, you know, biggest Arkansas sports story since when, Bob, you've been here for a little while. Where does this kind of rank in biggest stories that you've been a part of?
Well, when Frank Burrows finally retired after 50 years, he's either the coach, the AD, or both. That was obviously a huge story. Arkansas won the national championship in 1994 in basketball. That was a huge story when Nolan Richardson was dismissed from the program, and thankfully they've reconciled that. That was a huge story. you know, they hired Danny Ford to be the football coach, and he'd won a national title at Clemson. He got hired, I guess, in 93, and he'd won a national title at Clemson as a very young coach in 1980. But he's in the Hall of Fame now. But, you know, John Calipari is already in the Hall of Fame. He's been in the Hall of Fame for like 9 years. So, and he's on his way to 900 victories and already had 6 Final Fours, and he's done 3 different schools. You know, he's been successful everywhere he's been except the New Jersey Nets, which is Joe Klein, who, you know, played 15 years in the NBA. As he told me the other day, that's kind of rite of passage in the NBA. You have to play for the Nets, meaning what a dysfunctional franchise they are. But, it's one of the biggest stories. Certainly, probably the only bigger thing in basketball is winning the national championship. Mm-hmm. But as far as a hire, this thing is massive.
Apologies to any New Jersey, now Brooklyn Nets fans listening. Now, just kind of backtracking a little bit, obviously Eric Musselman departing for USC, that also kind of, I don't want to say came out of nowhere, because there were kind of a little bit of rumblings kind of going on there. But, there was some kind of stuff kind of brewing a little bit. There's obviously the video that Hunter Yurecek put out, the podcast appearance. And I don't think those were, reasons by any means that Musselman ended up departing. But, it was odd timing for a lot of stuff. And then all of a sudden, Eric Musselman is at USC. I guess kind of looking back at that for you guys both, what was your kind of, reactions to, Eric Musselman's departure?
Well, I don't think it's any secret. Like, all along, I think people have said, if a job opens up on the West, Eric Musselman is a West Coast guy. That's been clear from day one since he got at Arkansas. Like, that's where he's from, where has a lot of family from. I mean, he has deep ties to the West Coast. And I think it was all along you were kind of if UCLA or maybe USC ever opens, probably would be hard for him to not at least take a look at that. And I think just kind of the way that Arkansas season went, maybe it was the best time if he's, if USC wants him to become its next coach and Arkansas is on a down year, but he still has the 2 Elite Eights and another Sweet 16 to his name. You might not get that opportunity again. You know what I mean? That's, I think for a guy like him, it's, desire was to get it back out to the West Coast at some point. Cycle came open, a USC job. We're talking about a win-win for Calipari and Arkansas, or Kentucky and Arkansas with the situation. At least it was a win-win initially. I don't know if Kentucky feels the same way now, but I think it might have been the same way for Eric Musselman, in Arkansas a little bit. I know left the cabinet completely bare with the roster, so Arkansas fans not too happy with that. But, Eric Musselman gets to be on the West Coast again. He's coaching USC. I think that's a pretty great job for him. In Arkansas, he left the program at least from a recognition standpoint the past few years, and a place where it could get a John Calipari to want to come in. It didn't really surprise me actually at all. The moment I saw that job was open, I kind of would have been more surprised if we didn't hear his name at all linked to it. I think that right now you have a couple happy fan bases with how things shook out.
Yeah, I'm with Ethan. Eric played at the University of San Diego. His mom lives there. He's obviously lived all over because that's the coaching lifestyle. His dad was a coach, and he moved as a kid. And then since Eric became a coach himself, he's moved around a lot. But I don't think he's ever been anywhere longer than 5 seasons. So his stay here was lengthy by Eric's standards. And I think he's kind of a fix-it guy. Nevada, people may not know, they've got a pretty good history, but they'd been down for about 10 years. Eric went in there and led them to 3 straight NCAA tournaments. We know Arkansas has got a lot of history, but, 3 tournaments in Mike Anderson's 8 seasons, that's why he's no longer the coach. And Eric came in and took Arkansas to where it hadn't been since the mid-90s. Now, I didn't get him to a Final Four, but that's the only thing he didn't do from an NCAA tournament standpoint. And, the roster's barren, but I think that was going to happen if Eric stayed. A bunch of guys going to the portal, either they're looking for playing time. Maybe they don't like Eric's coaching style, which can be, pretty intense. But that's why I thought, but before USC opened up, I thought the jobs that I could see him leaving for were UCLA or USC. The people that said, Dutcher, the San Diego State coach, he'll go to USC and Eric will go to San Diego State. They don't understand that when Eric was coaching at Nevada that, San Diego State was a big rival. And if anybody watched that video from Maui, those fans hate Eric. Eric, I think it's safe to say, hates them. That would have been, I just couldn't have pictured that happening. Although he's an elite coach and that's a good program, I don't think it would have been a very good marriage.
And not to mention the USD rivalry with San Diego State, too.
Yeah, and it's funny, in his contract, that was the one place he could go without a buyout, was University of San Diego. That's kind of a joke, no offense to the Toreros, I think they are.
Yes.
Some kind of bull or something. And yeah, it made a lot of sense. And if Arkansas had gone to the Final Four this year, yeah, I don't think Arkansas, I mean, Eric would still be the coach here, but they had a down year. And so I think, he'd been here 5 seasons, maybe felt like there was an expiration date on his time at schools, and he'd already done a lot, but maybe it was never going to get as good as those Elite Eights again. I don't know. I mean, I trust Eric to put a roster together. It didn't work this year, but it worked the previous 8 years pretty well. But I think if he'd stayed, they would hit the portal hard, and they'd signed a couple good high school kids. And I think they would have been back to compete for an NCAA tournament next year, but obviously that's a moot point now. We'll never know, but I think the West Coast thing had a lot to do with it.
Well, and I think that a lot of people also like to point at the empty cabinet that I mentioned with Eric Musselman. You know, I mean, there's literally not a scholarship guy left. But you think about it, it actually might be pretty ideal for Arkansas in the situation with Calipari, that now he can put it together how he wants. And there's still guys that were at Arkansas last year that if they want to come, I mean, there's some guys on that roster that I'm sure John Calipari won't talk, that he's not going to just not talk to, that are in the portal. So I think that it leaves a lot of space, honestly, for Calipari to get his guys. And if, you know, opportunity arises for, I don't know, a Caleb Battle or Tremont Mark or one of these guys that are really good. I mean, I'm sure that you can't just have played at Arkansas last year and be not interested at all in maybe playing for John Calipari, you know. So I think that it might have been ideal, actually, that now Cal has a complete blank canvas to just, you know, maybe put it together how he wants. I mean, it's a tough job. I mean, you could tell the stress in his voice whenever, I think Hunter said, like, I have all the confidence in the world. And Cal, like, and then he said, I know Hunter has confidence, but man, this is going to be a lot of work. So,
yeah. And he'd mentioned it during his little introductory kind of before the press conference. He said, I met with the team. There is no team. And everybody started laughing. He said, no, you're laughing. This is going to be a lot of work. Or something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing, but you know, it is a big job. Obviously, 13 roster spots, scholarship roster spots. The only returning player from this team's season, or this season's team, excuse me, is Lawson Blake, who scored 1 point and is a walk-on. So there's quite a bit of work to do for Coach Cal. So just kind of looking at it now, obviously, we talked about roster construction. He talked about roster construction. What do you guys think are the biggest, I guess, factors that you're going to be looking for? Is it going to be, you know, how many guys is he going to bring from Kentucky or the portal? How many freshmen is he going to bring in? Or what are you guys thinking about that?
Well, he made it clear, like Coach Calipari did, that he understands into like the transfer portal era, like, and that you have to utilize that. Somebody also made it very clear, like, he's not going to change from, he wants his high school freshman guys. He made that, I mean, I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but he made it clear as day that he's going to still go after those guys. I'd expect, I mean, it would be really weird if some of those Kentucky guys, you know, if we don't see any of them come along. I just think that's the nature of any, you know, coaching change in today's era with the portal and with being able to get out of your letter of intent and sign. Like, I just think that there's some guys, excuse me, that they're going to want to follow him. I mean, you saw there's a lot of video around of former players of his at Kentucky. They're like, I went there because of him. I think there's a lot of guys who want to just, they're gonna ride or die with him.
Yeah, I think players today, for the most part, commit to a coach and a staff, not the school. Now, I can't think of his name, but there's one of those Kentucky signees who's a Kentucky kid. And so what I've been told is, yeah, he'll still come to Kentucky. But, yeah, I think three of their, maybe two signees and one commitment have already asked for their, either decommitted or asked for their scholarship release, just like Arkansas's two signees did. They signed here to come play for Eric and his staff. So, Bradshaw, the big kid from Kentucky, was a freshman this year, had some foot injuries, but he's obviously an elite player. He's in the portal. I don't know if that means he wants a fresh start or he wants to come here, but I'm sure Mark Pope has guys he was recruiting to BYU, and he's going to, you know, now he's recruiting them for Kentucky. That's just the way it works these days. I don't think people should be all upset It's the player, because who was it? Josh Cohen, the big kid from UMass, committed here. Then the day Eric was hired, he flipped to USC. That should be no surprise. That's the way things are these days. So I think we'll probably see a combination of some of these really highly regarded freshman signees. We'll see some portal guys. Ethan said maybe a guy or two comes back if Cal and his staff want him back. Like Antonio Reeves, for example, he was a transfer from Illinois State, I believe it was, and he had a really good year as a junior. I don't know if he's a sixth year, seventh year guy or what, but he's an older guy. Had two really good years for him, big shooting guard, wing player, and he was all SEC. So I think you're going to see a combination of portal guys and freshmen. And Cal talked about the freshmen they have to be physical because these older portal guys that other teams are getting are physical too. They may not be first round draft picks, but they're mature physically and mentally. And so I think he realizes you can't just have a rotation of eight freshmen, no matter how good they are.
And you mentioned a couple of things there. Obviously, Josh Cohen flipping from Arkansas to USC started his career, but was from UMass. Cal, also UMass guy. It always comes back to UMass in the A-10. And Antonio Reeves, Missouri Valley. I always have to throw that in. You know that.
Well, and all this also comes back to SMU.
It all does come back to SMU.
I've been hearing people saying that this is the final, Arkansas getting John Calipari was the final trade-off, and there was a, Arkansas got Chad Morris to coach its football program from SMU, and that didn't go necessarily so well. So people are saying this is the final, SMU did this to pay Arkansas back.
and also, in a
good way, I guess.
Yeah.
And you could argue this all starts because Indiana State has a second-half comeback of double digits in the NIT against SMU. The next day, Rob Lanier gets fired. All of this kind of gets set into motion. It always comes back to the Valley. I'm sorry. But talking about this season's Arkansas team, there's a couple of guys who are obviously impact guys who could make an impact if Cal wants them back. I think the guys who come to mind are Tremont Mark, Caleb Battle, if they want to come back and if Cal wants them back. I guess, are those guys you would maybe want to bring back if you're on this staff, or what do you guys kind of think in regards to potential returners?
Well, I mean, Caleb Battle, I think part of his little crazy tear where he scored, I don't remember how many points, no, it was at Kentucky, and he absolutely lit up the Wildcats over there. I mean, I don't think John Calipari sees a player like that, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just don't know Calipari at all, like what he's like. But I'm like, at least if it's me, I'm saying, hey, that guy is in the portal right now. He was at this school just last year, and he torched us last year. So maybe I do take a look at him, but I don't know. I think it's hard to, in the first place, any coach that comes to a new place, they want a team, at least a few players already there. I think it makes things a little bit easier just to kind of, just to get your day-to-day stuff going. You have some guys that understand just how the program works. So I think they might, if it was me, I'd look at a few of those guys that were high impact this year, even if the team wasn't that great at Arkansas. You had some guys that showed some serious promise.
I think a lot of it might come down to NIL money. I mean, if they want, let's just say Battle, for example, or Mark or whoever, it's kind of like a pro team now. How much, what's that player asking for as a free agent? Because they're all free agents from Arkansas's NIL budget. What can they afford to pay that guy? What is he willing to take? How much does he want? Can he get more with another team? I mean, it's really like pro free agency, only nobody's signing 2 and 3 year deals like the pros do. They're 1 year agreements. And so, obviously, there has to be mutual interest. Cal and his staff want to get that player. That player wants to come to Arkansas. But then at the end of the day, it probably gets down to NIL money.
And with that, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, Blake will have another rendition of Stump the Bob. And, of course, you don't want to miss that. It's a fun one. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Get the latest breaking news on all Arkansas Razorback sports at WholeHogSports.com. Our award-winning reporters and photographers go beyond game recaps to bring our subscribers the most trusted Razorbacks news anywhere. With expert analysis, the latest in recruiting, plus unique and compelling stories of your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us here on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. Without further ado, Blake, please take us away with Stump the Bob.
All right, Bob, since this is an emergency pod, your points from last year don't count, and this won't count on for your points for next season either. This is a standalone.
Preseason exhibition.
It's a standalone stumping. So the question is, in 2011, John Calipari coached an international team to the bronze medal in the FIBA Americas Cup. What country did he coach?
Was it the Dominican Republic?
That is correct.
He's untouchable.
Ding, ding, ding. All right, here's a backup stumper if you didn't get that one. So there was some speculation at the time that Calipari took that job to recruit a single player who was 16 at the time from the Dominican Republic. Can you name the player that was on that team? He's in the NBA now.
2011.
Doing pretty well. I can give you a hint.
Okay.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
I just don't follow the NBA like I should.
He's a current player for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah. Played for Kentucky.
I kind of want to give a secondary tick-tock hit.
I don't know. Why don't you let Ethan answer it?
Do you know it, Ethan?
I'm going to give
a pet.
A cat.
but it's
spelled with a K.
I'm just drawing a blank, man. Okay.
It's Carl Anthony Towns.
Oh, Carl Anthony Towns. Oh.
He was 16 and played on that team.
I didn't know he was from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
I also didn't know that.
Does he speak with an accent at all?
No. I haven't seen any of his pressers, but
am I making it up that this year he was like a sniper in the 3-point contest? Am I making that up?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he was hurt.
when you said Timberwolves, honestly, Carl Anthony Towns didn't come to mind because I guess if you said where's he from, I said, gosh, I can't remember, but I wouldn't have thought he was from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, he scored 70 in a game earlier this year, and when he was on Kentucky, they went to the Final Four.
Oh, yeah, he was a great player.
Yeah, he won the 2022 3-point contest, and I think he competed this year because I was cheering Trae Young on, and Karl Anthony Towns, I think, was the one. He was up there. It was him and Lillard and Trae Young.
I just wasn't, you know, saying Kentucky, I just wasn't thinking about him at all. I don't think he speaks with an accent.
No, he's got...
Does he have a little bit of one?
No.
Well, you got it right. You didn't get the backup stumper, but you got the original question, so we'll count that.
Yeah, the preseason exhibition. But no, yeah. I have not. I didn't really watch any of the NBA skill competitions this year, though I do typically try to at least consume the dunk contest. But apparently, that wasn't that great this year. But back to the task at hand. Talking about John Calipari. Obviously, coming in with a pretty clean slate, not a lot to work with. But you know, based on what he and Hunter Yurecek both kind of said, you know, in the press conference, you know, it seems like there's expectations to be at least good in year one. I guess just kind of looking at it from based on what you know, who John Calipari is, and what was said at the press conference. What are you guys kind of expecting for year one, just based on what we have? You know, what we know at this point.
I think the minimum's got to be the NCAA tournament. And like Kentucky fans, Arkansas fans want to see advancement, but you know you assume he's going to bring in a really talented roster and they're going to have a year to put it together. They might have their ups and downs. Just like this past Kentucky team, they were led by a lot of young guys, but they did have some older guys like Antonio Reeves, like we talked about. They went 23-10. And they lost at home to North Carolina, Wilmington, and lost at Oakland at the end of the year. They also won at Auburn, which is a really tough place to win. And they swept Arkansas, came in here against a very hostile crowd and won a game when they didn't have all their players. And so I think people expect, you know, he signed a 5-year contract, assuming he stays all those 5 seasons, which I think he will unless he wants to forfeit some of that money. Not that he needs money probably at this point of his career. But he is the second highest paid coach in the country, Brian Bill Self. So I think people expect to see results like you got at Kentucky, the good results in terms of NCAA tournament runs.
Yeah, I think that it is good, you know, talking about expectations. Like, I think I agree with you on, like, NCAA tournament this year would be a pretty good just achievement just because you're coming off a year where you had a losing record. I mean, I think that getting back to the tournament would be a great start. I do think people, like, it is good to, just kind of remember that what Eric Musselman did in 4 years of going to two Elite Eights and another Sweet 16 is really tough. Like, it's actually kind of a pretty big act to follow. I mean, it helps that you had a down year to segue it. Say Calipari was coming in here right fresh off those two Elite Eights and Sweet 16. That's a huge act to follow because there's not a lot of programs that can say they did that over that amount of time. But I do think, yeah, the goal is Final Four and beyond at some point while he's here. It does seem like, I mean, he said it a few times. He's like, I'm excited. I think that maybe you have a Calipari who's ready to prove people, you know, wrong, that he still can take a team, you know, deep in the tournament.
Yeah, and then obviously talking about, you know, the last few years at Kentucky, obviously lost to Oakland this year, lost to St. Peter's, you know, haven't been to the second weekend, I think, since 2019, if I'm not mistaken. How much of a do you guys think that maybe a change of scenery might be a beneficial thing for John Calipari?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think, you know, Joby Hall, who replaced Adolph Rupp, led Kentucky to the 78 national championship when they beat Arkansas at the Final Four in St. Louis. I believe he said at some point nobody should coach Kentucky longer than 10 years. And he was a longtime Rupp assistant. He played at Kentucky, but I think he coached right at 9 or 10 years, and then he retired. And I think his last year they went 18-12, which isn't bad. They went to the NIT, but obviously, and that's when the tournament was smaller. There were 40-some teams, but you know, Tubby Smith, I think, coached there 10 years, and he left for Minnesota. And people might say, how could you go from Kentucky to Minnesota? Well, he won national title his first year following Rick Pitino, a really hard act to follow. And then they got back to some Elite Eights. He never got back to another Final Four. So I think he felt like, I need to leave before they push me out. And, you know, there have been obviously other coaches who have struggled. You know, Eddie Sutton had some initial success, and then at the end he got fired. But Billy Gillespie had a lot of cachet come from A&M. He only lasted 2 years. This was a horrible fit. Kentucky's not for everybody. You got to be a really good coach, and then you just got to be able to handle all the noise, I guess I'll call it, that comes from that, whether it's fans, media, all the national attention. And Cal was perfect for that. I mean, if anybody watched that deal Wednesday, and of course, you know, it was a staged event, but I thought he answered, you know, Chuck Barrett's questions really well, gave a lot of good statements, and I thought he was good in our press conference with the media. I mean, he really knows how to command a room, so to speak, even a room as big as Bud Walton Arena. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with Mark Pope. He obviously played at Kentucky, so he understands the program to a certain degree. But coaching Kentucky is just, I think it's a different animal. As good as big a job as Arkansas is, it's not Kentucky. I mean, I don't know if North Carolina is Kentucky. It's right up there with it. But, you know, I think he'll be able to handle all the off-the-court stuff and be in the face of the program and the fans and the media and all that. And it's just going to be a matter of winning games.
Did you have anything you wanted to add to that, or is that?
No, I think that pretty accurate right there. I do think that it's probably good to have a clean slate, just from a perspective of the Arkansas fan base right now doesn't have Kentucky-like expectations. I know that that's a lot of people like to, you know, maybe hear think that, you know, think that Arkansas should just rightfully be in like a Final Four or something. I mean, but if you take a step back, I mean, it takes time to build something. I think that he's going to get definitely grace early on. But I do think like the expectation is a Final Four at some point while he's here, if not more. You just don't bring in a coach like that and not have big goals. But I do think that, yeah, a clean slate with a fan base that's just going to really not be as Kentucky-like will be nice for him.
Yeah, and I spoke to Josh Pastner, who obviously was an assistant to Calipari at Memphis for a little bit, and he mentioned, you know, obviously the tournament is the tournament. It's a crapshoot. You need some luck, and obviously the ball just didn't bounce Kentucky's way a couple of times over the past couple of years. But he was pretty adamant that he thinks that it's going to be a successful hire, and that, you know, it's going to be good stuff. Make sure you're getting the next magazine for some of that stuff. But obviously now some news this morning came out about his staff bringing over a lot of guys from Kentucky. Obviously, continuity like that can be important. I guess, kind of, what do you guys kind of expect from a staffing standpoint? Do you expect him to maybe, you know, maybe hold on to a couple of guys on the Arkansas staff from this season, maybe a Ronnie Brewer or somebody along those lines? What are you kind of, I guess, looking for in terms of staffing?
Yeah, I think it'd be great if he could keep Ronnie Brewer. Ronnie's an Arkansas guy through and through. I thought it was a real good hire for Eric Musselman. Have not heard anything about Ronnie from Musa's staff. Obviously, I think it's safe to say his son's going to follow Michael. And I think Anthony Root has been with Mus along the way. He'll go there. Todd Lee's very close to him. I think those three guys will go for sure. From what I understand, Keith Smart will not be with him. Unfortunately, he was a finalist for the Fresno State job but didn't get it. So hopefully Keith will find a good landing spot. And then, you know, Ronnie, I think Ronnie showed he's a capable coach and recruiter. He's obviously a young coach developing, but I don't know if Mus would be interested in bringing him to the West Coast. You know, Mus might feel like he needs some West Coast guys too, although he's a West Coast guy himself. So, but anytime a coach makes a change like this, he always wants to bring some of his own people with him. Sometimes he wants to bring all his people with him. So we'll see what happens, but it's certainly no surprise that some, if not all, staffers are following Cal from Kentucky.
It wouldn't surprise me, though, if Riley Hall, who's been the director of internal operations, he's just a guy who's been with the program since Mike Anderson days. He started off as a student manager with Mike Anderson and was a grad assistant. Then I think he did video stuff. You always want one guy who really knows just kind of day to day how things are going. It just makes it so much more seamless for everybody. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Riley Hall maybe stay around. He's a guy who understands the program probably better than anybody right now, that's other than Ronnie Brewer, who's there.
Yeah, I think I haven't talked to Riley, but you know, yeah, he's an Arkansas guy. He and his wife just had a baby, and I know he'd gotten very close with Eric, and Eric depended on him a lot, and he's Eric's right-hand guy, but. Yeah, I agree. You like to have some people. You know, Cal knows Arkansas to the extent he's played them several times, but he doesn't know maybe all the ins and outs with business people and boosters and just like, well, this is where you go for this, and this is who you – when you need this, this is who you ask. When you need that, this is who you ask. That, do you need a plane lined up or whatever it might be? And there are obviously other people who can tell him, but Riley, I mean, he probably has everybody that's important on speed dial, or maybe he has a number memorized. Definitely they're in his phone, speed dial. I don't even know if that's a term anymore. Maybe that's going out with beepers or something. But, yeah, to me, Riley would be a guy you'd want to keep on staff if he wants to stay, because he just knows so much about the program and could answer so many questions for you.
Yeah.
And talking about, you know, Cal obviously bringing a lot of, you know, his Kentucky staff with him now to Arkansas, how important do you think that continuity is for him to maybe be able to, you know, set what he wants, you know, for, you know, year one team and then kind of going forward?
I think this might go back to what we were just talking about of like he's keeping really the Kentucky maybe minus the Kentucky pressure, like keeping the same guys, doing things how you were doing it, but maybe like just a whole fresh breath of air for all of them of like, we're gonna do this somewhere else. If it is true, I mean, that he brings all these, you know, assistants in, I think that it's like that continuity of like, hey, this is how we've been doing things, but here's a new place and maybe less of that Kentucky. Like, don't get me wrong. In Arkansas, the Razorbacks are extremely important. Eyes will be on everything that's happening. People are insanely invested. But, like, I think Kentucky is just a different animal. Like, as far as, like, that is what people are – there's so much pressure – for everything there. I think that it might be nice for the whole staff just having that fresh breath and maybe, you know, doing it in a different place with maybe a little lower expectations right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas still has, you know, if you're looking at a mountain range, maybe Kentucky's Mount Everest, but Arkansas is right up there too. It's a really high-level program, and these guys, they're familiar. They've been in the building and then the airport and things like that. I think they'll probably find, if they didn't already know, that what a big area this is now from a population standpoint, from a cultural standpoint. It's not, you know, Podunkville I don't want to name any other SEC towns, but and they're all nice, you know, college towns. But this, yeah, Northwest Arkansas, Fayetteville is the home of the University of Arkansas. It's not really a college town anymore, I wouldn't call it. I think Lexington's not really a college town. There's a lot going on there. I think of the horse farms and all that. So, you know, outside of Nashville, maybe Baton Rouge, I don't know if there's a bigger market than Northwest Arkansas. And so I think they're coming to a good place. We know they always Northwest Arkansas gets highly rated in the magazine surveys for quality of life. And so I think it's a good place to live. It's a good place to work. And it's a good, if you're a basketball coach, a good place to recruit to.
It doesn't hurt having a friend also who owns a gigantic company with chicken, you know, Mr. John Tyson. I think that it's nice that he'll already have some familiarity coming in here with, I mean, of course, over the years, you can't have that. You can't play 25 games against a program and not have some familiarity with them. But he has familiarity with just business people here, too, already. So that's probably great for that transition.
And he's been to Herman's multiple times.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with some good chicken. that is all of the time that we have here today. Thank you all for tuning in to this emergency podcast edition of the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. For me, Anthony Christensen, Ethan Westerman, Bob Holt, Blake Sutton behind the scenes, thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you when we see you, because I don't want to say we'll see you next season right now, because you never know, apparently. Thank you again. See you guys.